want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That promise was given thousands of years ago by Moses to Joshua. But I believe that it's for you and me today, for all who are willing to follow the Lord. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about fitting ourselves to our sphere. The sphere being wherever we are, our work, our circumstances, the geography, the house we live in, the people we work with and live with, whatever constitutes our setting in life. Are we learning to fit ourselves, to adapt, to accept? Someone wrote, "Some of the things you say are so new to my ears, I have to chew on them for a while." It's so good to hear your politically incorrectness. And I got a chuckle out of that. She says, "My mother was a forerunner of the feminists. She taught me how to survive and thrive in a man's world, to get out there and grapple with the best of them. Thankfully, however, I received grace and salvation in my senior year of college and stopped dead in my tracks. I married a politically incorrect man, had politically incorrect children, and hold a politically incorrect career, that of housewife and mother. But even after 12 years of drinking in the scriptures, I need practical help, and you have helped me in that area. You're bold in speaking the truth. I know you must have enemies." Well, I'm sure I have far more enemies than ever write to me, but every now and then somebody writes to me, and it's quite clear that they would oppose the things that I say. And I think I would have better sense than to say them if they were merely my opinions. But I want to be faithful to God's truth. Yesterday, we talked about some practical inferences from principles and the great secret of Christian sanctity, which is a very old motto: trust and obey. Believe that God does know what he's doing. That's trust. And obey just means do what he says. We ask the question, how is it with your family? This is the most revealing sphere in which the reality of our purpose is manifest. The private world within walls where we can get away with things that would be impossible in a public sphere. Now, here's a letter from a husband. "I heard your tape on such and such a day, and I believe it could be helpful to my wife if she would be willing to listen to it. It was called Passion and Purity, I believe, about women forgiving their husbands' affairs." Well, actually, my book, Passion and Purity, is about bringing your love life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I don't remember putting in that book something about forgiving husbands' affairs because I really didn't have married people in mind, but lots of married people have read the book and tell me that it had something for them. Anyway, this man apparently heard about Passion and Purity and perhaps read it. He says, "I was driven to an affair by being denied intimacy for 10 years when I could no longer take rejection from my own wife." We better stop right there. Nobody can prevent your doing the will of God. Nobody can drive you to an affair if you choose to obey God, because God will give you the strength to resist. The Bible says, and this is not Elizabeth Elliot, this is what the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability to bear. but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. Here's a man who claims that he was driven to an affair, and of course he is doing exactly what Adam did. He puts the blame on his wife. His wife denied him intimacy for 10 years. Was that right or wrong? Well, of course it was wrong. But two wrongs don't make a right. Husbands sin against wives. Wives sin against husbands. If each holds the other responsible, nobody stands responsible before God. He says, I could no longer take rejection from my own wife. Well, when people say they can't, they usually mean they won't. And he refused to take any more rejection, and so he just thought to himself, I'll show her. And he went out and found himself satisfaction in somebody else's bid. And I would be willing to bet, if I were a bettor, that he didn't find the satisfaction he thought he was going to find. When you look for satisfaction outside of the will of God, seldom does it bring the joy and the peace and the happiness that you were looking for. 10 years have passed, and the estrangement still exists, although we live under the same roof. To live without sexual pleasure is inhumane. And I'll stop right there and say, yes, the Bible says that spouses are not to defraud each other by withholding intimacy. That's perfectly true. It is wrong to withhold intimacy from your spouse. But if one chooses to do that in disobedience to God, is the other thereby entitled to choose his own way and to retaliate? We've been to several counselors with no positive outcome. I don't believe in divorce. Please understand, many husbands don't want to have an affair, but when sex is used as a weapon, it will happen. Sin doesn't just happen. Sin is something we choose because we are, by nature, sinners. And that's me talking, and now back to him. He says, I truly regret what happened, and yet I cannot change it. That is true. The past is gone. We cannot change the past. But here is a man who, if his first concern had been the good of his wife and children, if he had been willing to present his own unfulfilled desire unreservedly to God, trusting God to satisfy his heart, how different that home would have been. What a difference it could still make in that marriage. It might even change that wife's view of things altogether. But suppose it didn't. Suppose the husband made what would seem difficult sacrifices and decided that he would accept her unfaithfulness and her withholding of sexual intimacy. And suppose things did not work out well. Would not the man himself have found the rest that comes through the fitting of himself to this particular sphere, his place in this home, his learning to love this woman because she is his wife? The great question, my dear friends, the great question is not, is this going to work, but is this the right thing to do? Don't ask, will it work? Will it make me happy? Will things get better? Ask only one question. Is this the right thing to do? That man could so love his wife and so live before their children as to commend Christ to them as their Lord and Master. And what of your particular sphere? I don't know what it is, but if you take the initial step of entire recognition of the Lord's ownership over you everywhere and in everything, more and more, I do believe that the crooked things would be made straight. Now, another letter. This woman asks the question, does God want me to be miserable? And she writes about a woman who is very snobby and has tried to act as though she was better than everyone. Not my idea of a loving Christian woman, she says. There is just one problem with that. Her ways have made me actually have all those bitter feelings back again. She tells me at the beginning of the letter that she was bitter, and then she had confessed it to the Lord, and at first things were changed. She lost the bitterness, and she was nice to everyone. But now she's got those bitter feelings back again. Her actions and her nasty comments, the way she has a tendency to put me down in front of others as though it is just a game, like I have no feelings whatsoever. She hates men and she can't seem to keep one around. She has a very domineering personality and must always be right. I feel terrible, rotten feelings towards her. And I say even more rotten, unholy things about her and others I cannot stand anymore. I really want to move away from her. But what if this is where the Lord wants me to be? I could be making a big mistake. Do you believe the Lord wants me to be so miserable? I do not believe that God wants anybody to be miserable. But how do you find the joy? By dropping out? By refusing the sphere in which God has placed you? By taking things into your own hands? By retaliation? By giving someone the cold shoulder? Those things are going to make you more miserable. Rest is the fitting of self to its sphere. If she would simply accept that woman, remembering that God loves her, and that how she treats that woman is how she is treating Jesus Christ himself, if she would pray for grace to see Christ in that enemy, she would find joy. She would not be miserable. I believe that. Rest is not quitting the busy career or not leaving the place where you are. Rest is the fitting of self to its sphere.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.